Now continuing where I left off there in the middle of the reading on Zohar. Oh, begin at the beginning again. It came to pass when the ark set forward, Rabbi Eliezer said, "What is the meaning of the inverted letter Nun introduced here twice?" We explain it thus. We read, "A little before, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them 3 days' journey to seek a resting place for them." Now as soon as the ark set off, the Nun accompanied it with its face turned towards Israel. The Shekinah ever hovered over the ark, but the love of the Holy One, blessed be He, towards Israel was such that even though they strayed from the straight path, He would not forsake them, but always turned His countenance towards them. For otherwise they could not endure in the world. So that whilst the ark went before them 3 days' journey, the Nun, symbol of the Shekinah, there it is, remained inseparable from it and accompanied it, yet turned her face away from the ark and towards Israel, like a young hart that whilst going turns its face towards its starting point. Thus when Moses said, "Rise, O Lord," implying, "Do not forsake us, turn thy face toward us," the Nun turned round facing Israel in the manner of one turning his face toward his beloved friend. And when it rested, the Nun turned its face again towards the ark. Said Rabbi Simeon, "O Eliezer, assuredly it is as you said, saving that when the ark rested, the Shekinah did not turn her countenance away from Israel. This is clearly shown by the second Nun, which is also of an inverted shape. It never turned its face away from Israel. And by the way, as you read the last line of the Hebrew coming along there, his argument for this is based partly on the fact that the very last word of that line is Israel, and the Nun has its face turned toward Israel. We return now, coming to the side, to the last use of cloud in the singular in the New Testament. Now, here it is. Luke 21. We've done the singulars now when we finish this. This is Luke 19. "And there shall be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations and perplexity, for the roaring of the sea and the billows." Now, I haven't time to digress on whether these signs in the sun and moon and stars are references figuratively to Israel, or whether they're actually heavenly phenomena. I'm inclined to drift more and more to the idea that it has to do with Israel, but we'll have to take it up sometime later. Verse 26. "Men fainting for fear and for expectation of the things which are coming on the world, and for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." Now, 27. "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud," see, "in a cloud, with power and great glory. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh." Verse 27. Here it is. "They will see." Who? Men. Verse 26. And there it is in the Greek text. You don't need to bother with it unless you want to look at the Greek. But underneath, it's underlined, the translation. "As men are stopping breathing from fear." From fear. Many have put this in the heart attack category. And it's very possible. They literally stop breathing from fear and anticipation of the things coming on for the inhabited earth. See, for the inhabited earth. That's a little bit different there, too. So you want to notice that. Those who don't believe in Jesus will be amazed to actually see Him coming in a cloud, the glory cloud, with power and much glory. And remember, it told you that they would see Him come back in the same way He went up. And so this cloud that He comes in with power and great glory is His glory cloud, identified by the fact of power and glory. Now look at verse 28 at the bottom. "But as these things are beginning to be coming to pass," now watch carefully, "you stand erect." Now he's talking to Jews. He's talking to Jews, the other side of the cross. "You stand erect and elevate the heads of you, you Jews, for the reason that the redemption back of you is drawing near." The Jews, for 1900 years, have walked among Gentiles with bowed heads. Now, hold it right there and let me explain that. The Jews have been a persecuted and oppressed people more than any people on the earth. they have in some countries been made to get off the sidewalks, walk in the street when they pass a Gentile. And they have actually been fearful all day until it was night. At night, they were fearful all night until it was day. They were persecuted, driven from country to country. They had to give up their possessions in one country and flee to another one. And this has gone on and on and on all these years. So with bowed head, they slunk around in the darkness, so to speak, so as to be as little observed as possible. This is partly one of the reasons you find that a Jew won't always acknowledge that he's a Jew. He's fearful. Now, look at the, from the semicolon. Now, those in Israel walk erect with head high. You see? This is a prophecy. Look at it again. Read the prophecy. Look at it. And it's actually happened in our day. As these things are beginning to be coming to pass, you stand erect and elevate the heads of you. And that's exactly what the Israelis do when they get to their land. For the reason that the redemption back of you is drawing near. So that they're taking them back into a full relationship as they had at Sinai at one time is approaching. Oh, it isn't day yet, but they can walk, and this part of the prophecy is already fulfilling their redemption back. Turn over to the top of 14 and continue to Jehovah is drawing near. This cloud of Jehovah's presence will return to the temple in much glory. And you can see Ezekiel 43, 1 through 5, and the same appearance as in Ezekiel 1, 4 through 28. Now, Ezekiel 1, 4 through 28 is back on page 3, and I'm going to put Ezekiel 43 in here in just a minute. So you don't need to really look it up at this point or stop your cassette. You can really keep going because I'll show it to you over on page 16. We must now consider four uses in Matthew and Mark of clouds plural. Now, this brings in another interesting thing. We will simply note the passages at first and construct a picture. Now, here they are. First, you just get them down here so you can see them. Matthew 24, 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. You'll see Apologetics 8 for tribulation on that, but it still won't cover everything. I have more to do. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, put your finger there. Hang on a minute. Look in the middle. Notice, could the sign be the rainbow? Now, that's what the Jews hold, that when the rainbow shows with all of its brightness, I gave it to you back earlier in this very series, this very lesson, this is going to be a sign of his coming. Then the Messiah will come. And that's interesting to note. I don't want you to be adamant on it. I just want you to note these things. Now, going ahead with verse 31, he shall send forth his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect, watch carefully, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now notice where they're coming from. That's very interesting. Look at Mark 13. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall be falling from heaven, the powers that are in the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send forth the angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Notice now he picks up a little bit more, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Little different, right? Keep in mind. Now Matthew 24, 30, that's the passage above, I put it so the Greek would show this a P on, or over. It's either one. And I just underlined it. Over the clouds of the heaven. The cloud. See the word the? All right. Now, Mark has N. So you know that preposition is in or among. Among clouds. That's among clouds. Now look at Matthew. We've got another one. Matthew 26, 62. And the high priest stood up and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest said to him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, henceforth ye shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, that one there is, look to your right there it is, over the clouds of the heaven. Now, there's an article in that one. There's an article on the other one when it uses a P. A P. Okay, that's the one up in Matthew 24. Now, going to Mark 14, and the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? And he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and saith unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Now this is a little bit different again, out in the margin, with the clouds of the heaven. Now this is interesting how these are separated. You see, you've got the article in there three of the times, but in the one, in Mark 13, you don't have. Now watch carefully. All of these have to do with the coming of Jesus in power and glory. That's stated, so you don't have any trouble with that. If the priests are to see him, they will have to be here, which will require a resurrection. So they're obviously going to be resurrected at that time if they're going to see him coming with power and glory. Okay? Now this is important. One more use of clouds, Revelation 1:7. This is the 24th use. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn over him, even so, amen. There's the consistent. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, as you're with again, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will themselves bewail on him, yea, amen. If they who pierced him is literal, it will require a resurrection. They'll have to be here. Let us try to make a composite picture. From what I have shown, and you've got 24 of them, there's only one missing yet. I believe the pillar of cloud itself is a sort of control position for Jehovah's ruling over Israel. Now, I've taken time to go back and show you that in the Old Testament, I think conclusively, from both Ezekiel and Exodus and Numbers, everywhere. I do not think it is made of water vapor. I don't think that has to follow at all. The very Hebrew words seem opposed to this idea. I won't say that it isn't water vapor positively, because I cannot prove it. But the very Hebrew words indicate otherwise. Whatever we may someday learn, it seems these clouds can support angels or people or heavenly armies. Now, I made you a picture. But before I can explain the picture, you need to look at the bottom and back on page 14 all at once. Look at the bottom. I have attempted to meet many conditions. He's coming in a cloud. Now that's on verse 13. You need to know that one. He's coming in a cloud. Now this, as I showed you before, doesn't need the article because this one of his presence is always that particular cloud. So I don't think we have any problem with that one at all. Notice the next line. He is coming among clouds. Now that's interesting because there's no article there because these are not connected. Those around it are not connected with the glory cloud itself. So he's among clouds. Now he's coming with the cloud and he's coming over the cloud and the article goes back in. And they're the clouds of heaven. Now, that's a little puzzling to me as to why it does that. I'm not hesitating to tell you that. But the articles are in those instances. And sometimes we're going to find out just why this is written exactly the way it is. Sometimes there's a manuscript mistake. Sometimes, you know, way back when they started copying manuscripts, there's every possibility that somebody has omitted an article or put it in. But I believe we have very accurate Greek copies. I don't think we have much trouble there at all, but there is some. At least I put it together for you. Now, I have to make it meet all of these conditions. So I have him coming in a cloud, in that middle cloud, the God's presence, God's glory cloud. Now, he also comes with the army. See, let's go further, the bottom. He will come back to Israel and rule from the temple as in former times. That's the glory cloud. Israel will serve him as their God. Israel will become the head of all nations, and the rainbow confirms his covenant. So the rainbow is over his head there. And from Ezekiel, we know that the cherubim are there. Now, these other clouds have to support the troops, because we've got, notice I put on the top four clouds there, I put on a horseman that comes with them, and I put red gold horseman on the, I'm sorry, mine's gold, I colored mine. But the horseman is there on the, it should be a white horse, really, anyway. But the white horse is on the cloud, I put him there on the command cloud, because we have two pictures. We have him coming to rule Israel. We have him coming to ride to Israel's defense. As such, he rides the horse, the white horse, and he comes forth with the armies of heaven. So I transported the armies of heaven on clouds, and he comes forth, as you'll see in a minute, with angels, and the angels I've transported on clouds. And then he comes forth with his elect gathered from one end of heaven to the other on clouds. And now I've got two clouds that are empty. Let's turn over and we'll explain some of this. Now here's Ezekiel 43. Afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Kibar, and I fell upon my face. Now that's back on page 3. It describes it in Ezekiel 1. And the glory of Jehovah came into the house for the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. And the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of Jehovah filled the house. And I heard one speaking unto me out of the house, and a man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. Now this is his return, this is the restoration of all things, and the permanent dwelling in the midst of the children of Israel forever. Now look at Revelation 19. And I saw the heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat thereon, called Faithful and True, in righteousness he doth judge and make war. It's a white horse. When I mentioned gold before, it's because I colored mine gold for the glory, because I couldn't make white show up on white, obviously. So that's just a little deviation of mine. You don't have to pay any attention to that at all. It's a white horse. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems. Now these diadems are the ruling crown, as we've talked about before. Because he rules over all the nations. He hath a name written which no one knoweth but he himself. And he's arrayed in a garment sprinkled with blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and pure. Now, as I see the picture, there's no reason in the wide world why these horsemen can't be being transported on clouds as well. And out of his mouth proceeded a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God the Almighty, and he hath on his garment and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now that's why he wears diadems, diadema. He wears them, several of them, because he's King of Kings. He takes over world rule. He comes as commander of the heavenly armies to make war. When clouds is plural, it refers to his second advent in glory. Every single turn. Every single turn. Not only is he accompanied by the armies of heaven, but also by angels. All right, look at these passages. Matthew 16:27. So the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he render unto every man according to his deeds. So see, he's coming in glory, his glory cloud of his Father. And Mark 8:38, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation,
the Son of Man also shall be ashamed of him when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So the angels are coming. All right? So now you've got them, both armies and angels, and I've got them back on the clouds on page 15. He will also be bringing his chosen from one end of heaven to the other. And I gave you that scripture back on page 14. See the chosen on the clouds on page 15. I put them on there too. And also you can look at Mark 13:27. In Mark, we notice at the same time the chosen are gathered from the tip of earth as well. See, that added that, and I called it to your attention when we read that. On page 15, I left some empty clouds for those that he's going to gather from one tip of earth as well, because they're going to be caught up, as you're going to see in a minute. Now consider the last use of clouds in the New Testament. We will repeat the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, on the next page. But first go back to page 1 and reread the scripture. Now, I sent you back to page 1 because at the time I was thinking it would be good to go back and look at the origin of what we're talking about. And I think we have a minute, so let's go back. We didn't have to read it twice, but let's go back on page 1. I want to get you away from the side comments, too. So we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep, that ye sorrow not even as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive, that are left unto the coming of the Lord, shall in no wise precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Messiah shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, coming back to page 17, the last page, we're going to finish it up now. I think you've got enough background. We didn't quite finish everything at the bottom of page 16. So go back there, near the bottom, in fact, about the middle of the section. Now ask yourself a few questions. Do you really have any authority to make this use in Thessalonians of the clouds something different from all other uses? Do you really have any authority to make these clouds going up when all others are coming down? Do you have authority to say you will ever be with the Lord in heaven when he will be ruling on earth? You see, you've got to ask yourself honestly some questions. Now come to page 17. And I'll call your attention to some of these verses particularly. I won't read it again. Verse 13. The ones having fallen asleep and ones still falling asleep, that is, those trusting from both Old and New Testament, they had fallen asleep, and one is a perfect tense, and they're still falling asleep. Paul's talking about a thing that goes on through life. There's those that have already fallen asleep, and falling asleep is used for death, and I can't get onto that. That'll have to be separated. And then they are continually falling asleep. Even while Paul was talking or writing to the Thessalonians, the same thing was going on, and they were still falling asleep. And, of course, they're wondering about this. Now, verse 14. The God will lead with him, that is, Jesus, the ones having fallen asleep through Jesus. So those having fallen asleep through Jesus will be led with Jesus. So when he comes in that central cloud, I put some of the elect from one end of heaven to the other on the cloud, and they will be brought there. They'll come that way. All right? New Testament believers will be coming with Jesus. Now, this is group one. Now, if you've got a color pencil of some sort, I don't care what color you use, but put a big round circle around that. This is group one in this scripture. They died believing in Jesus. They're coming with Jesus. Now, they're not coming down and get a body. They've already got a body. We've shown that in chronology, too. So they're coming with Jesus. Now, verse 15. the ones living, namely the ones being left around, with reference to not the coming, the presence of the Lord. Make note of that word, because we're going to take that up separately in another apologetic. Of the Lord might not come first before the ones having fallen asleep. So there's going to be some people that will be alive and that will be ready to be caught up at that time, that will be believing in the Lord Jesus, which are the, well, if he came today, it would be present-day believers. Nothing says he's coming today, as I'll show later. Now, this is group two in Scripture. Circle that one. His presence, not coming. That is not the word coming. Erechomai is coming. This is the word present. 16. Note, trumpet to summon Israel. See, the sound of the trumpet. And I showed that to you back in the Old Testament. And back on page 4. And Jehovah descended in Exodus 19:18. Showed you that. The dead ones in Messiah, here in verse 16, the dead ones in Messiah will stand up again for themselves firstly. Now this takes a word, anistemi. Stand up, not rise. Anistemi. There it is spelled out in English letters so you can say it. Not egero. Egero is used for New Testament believers. Now that I'm going to set out separately for you in apologetics, every one of them, so you can see. They are already done in a chronology course, but I'm going to put it separated so you can keep things one thing at a time in your thinking. Since Old Testament saints have not yet believed in Jesus, they must stand up again first. So those in the Messiah are going to stand up again first, not rise. That's the wrong translation of that word. Now, in chronology 2, where these words are compared, this is group 3 in this scripture. So you've got three groups. Those that have fallen asleep in Jesus have already believed, they already have their bodies, and they're coming with him on the cloud. Then we have also the group who will be alive at the time when he comes. And then we have a third group, and this group are the Old Testament saints which stand up, and they look on him whom they pierced, and they stand again first. Now verse 17, they shall be seized at the same time with them, with reference to meeting of the Lord into air. Now Israel went out to a meeting together. Remember I showed you that back on page 4? I gave you this Greek word. There it is again. See? Synontasting. There it is. And I spell it this time, fortunately, for you in English. This word, meeting, that we've got here in Thessalonians, is a little bit different. Because the other was a meeting together. But this is simply the word meeting. Now, it's a technical term. It's a technical term, this word meeting, for the official welcome of a newly arrived dignitary. And if you look that up in the scriptures where it's used, it's only used, I think, three other places, this is always true. Now let me go to the end. This passage, using clouds, verse 17, is in Greek, in clouds, is possible. But Mark 13, 26, 14, is exactly the same as there. It could be among clouds. This passage fits perfectly into the total use of the word cloud. To make this use different takes all kinds of assumptions and is pure guesswork and full of foolishness. Because you have everything I've set you down, every single use, plus many, many of the Old Testament uses, to show you it has to do with his coming in the clouds with great glory. And every eye shall see him, and there will be a resurrection for them to see him, and the standing again of the Old Testament saints, that they might believe in him, because they have no way of knowing about him before. And before they're caught up to meet him in the clouds, those New Testament saints are coming with him. That's why I left the empty clouds on the bottom of that great group. And they're all coming down for his rule and reign. And the pillar of cloud will go back into the temple. His horsemen will bring victory to Israel. And his reign will be established for the millennium. Now, you can't make yourself getting on a cloud and going up when he and all other uses show it coming down. I hope this clears it up for you. Thank you.